I don't know how to follow that. How many of you like to see me do a handspring? Good luck with that. Where to put all those envelopes? Well, you can. Well, there's a little box right back there by the office door. You can drop them in there today or throughout the week or whatever. It's always there. So that's how you can do that. A couple things. Let you know up front. First of all, today's message is not out of Acts. It's a little bit different. It's around the theme time to build, and I thought it was appropriate with what we're trying to do. And looking to God's Word and how the nation faced this moment as well, by the way, they really did, and what happened there. Over the beginning next week, I'll be out of the pulpit for a little while. We're going to have different pastors that are going to be coming in here, starting with Pastor Dan, and then I think, is it Brian's next? And then Josh, and then we'll see where I am after all of that, so... Thank you so much for your prayers for myself and my wife, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do. So you want to be here? Invite some friends. Let's pack this place out over the next 3 or 4 weeks. In fact, you can just pack it out from now till Jesus comes. That's okay. But let's encourage these men and be praying for them as they're going to bring the Word of God. So that's what's happening here over the next few weeks. The title of my message is Time to Build. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and look up that lovely book, Haggai. Everybody knows where it's at, okay? If you're not sure, just open up your Bible, like right in the very center, let it flop open and turn right. Keep going almost to the end of the Old Testament, near the very end, and you'll find Haggai. It's not very long, but it's a great book, and it is very well connected to some of the other minor prophets in the Old Testament as well. They're all kind of hang together. They're written around the same time. We've got Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. We've got and Haggai, all those books. And so Haggai is where we're at. And it is basically looking at this whole issue of the need to get up and build. It's time. It's time. So, I want to ask the question as we get into it. What was happening during the days of Haggai? I always like the history part because I think it's important to know a little bit about what was going on. Some of you may have remembered some of this. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Just a quick reminders here. Israel, during this time of writing, is living in a time period of judgment. Okay? Now, I'm going to just read a passage that comes from Jeremiah. And... this kind of summarizes it, and yes, I'm breaking down. Hopefully, I now get all the right words. It was a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't read the text, so I just started remembering. Unfortunately, I memorized everything in the King James, so you may have had a different version. So here we are, we're still in the ESV. Here we go. Jeremiah talks about what was going on. So this is kind of a what's going to happen. It's from the prophet. For 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I've spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. Arrgh! Anybody have that frustration in your family life or at work? How many times you spoke something over and over again? God was pretty patient. This wasn't like one or two times. This goes over years. He said, that's it. And so what happens? Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord. And for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, against all these surrounding nations. That's exactly what happened. And if we look into that, we see this going on not only in Jeremiah, Isaiah speaks about it as well. And kind of a summary here, you have that up on the screen there. The Assyrians came and took Israel. That's the northern kingdom. If you remember the kingdoms after Solomon died, there was a split. One group of people, you thought churches were good at that. Nations are good at that too. People are good at that. 10 of them went to the north. That's Israel. 2 of them went to the south. That's Judah. And they coexisted next to each other, but they were their own, led by their own kings, and laws, although the laws were similar. And so the Lord was speaking on the passage I read to you to the northern kingdom, Israel, and they were taken away by the Assyrians in 722. It was not a pretty scene at all. Later on, and you would think the southern kingdom would go, man, we better get our act together. How many times have you wondered about that in our own nation? Something happens, and you would think the nation would go, we better get our act together with God. You would think that would happen. Didn't happen. So in the southern, eventually, it's over 100 years later, we have the Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar's coming along now, right? And he's going to take away the rest of the people. Some remain, very few, some scattered. Most were taken away and planted all over the place. So that's kind of what we have, and now we're in 538, and we have the Jews returning to the promised land. You see, we have this whole thing about God's judgment and the nation falling apart, and things look terrible, and they are terrible. But I love the passages that were read earlier. You got to understand, God has a plan, and he's going to fulfill that plan. I mean, take this the right way. I'm going to say some things that might really tick some of you off. Sorry about that. You can talk to me about it next week, all right? America here, America not here. Does not matter. God is going to fulfill his plan. Now, I think, as we're going to see, God offers nations and people opportunities. Ways to get back on. Over and over and over again. But unfortunately, like in Jeremiah that we read, I told you 100 times and you didn't listen. Or you were distracted, or you're on your phones or whatever. And you didn't listen. And so the nation's falling apart. God, it's all ruined. It'll never work. Oh, God's promises aren't true. It's all terrible. But God. God invades this whole thing. You talk about an Assyrian invasion, you talk about a Babylonian invasion, there was a God invasion. And so we have God coming here. Knowing that Israel's exile is not the end of the story at all. It's a continuing story. And you don't have to turn, but if you were to turn, I'm actually going to have it on the screen here, to Ezra, you're going to see that God stirs up a king's heart. But it wasn't a king of faith. I find that funny. Come on, folks, loosen up. He's going to all speak only to those who are deep in prayer. Well, he does speak to us who are deep in prayer, or those who are holy, or whatever. Oh, my, God's not limited to that at all. The nation wasn't doing the right thing, so he says, I'm going to go over here to this guy, and he's not necessarily a follower of me 100%. He had all other kinds of religions as well. But let's read just a little bit. It might be hard to read, so I'll read for you. If you can read that, God bless. Thus says Cyrus, King of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. Did you hear that? God does that. There's reasons. Yeah. But the world doesn't center around the United States of America. It centers around the Lord God himself. His mission, his plan. If we don't get our act together, we might find ourselves scattered. So, the Lord God, the God of heaven, has given me, King of Persia, the kingdoms of the earth. And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Wow, so there it is. Rebuild the house of the Lord. Rebuild the house of the Lord. What is the big deal about that? I think that is a good question to ask. The temple that they're after is really the basis for fellowship with God. That's it. Back then, that temple was the place where you met, you worshiped together as a community, you offered sacrifices, you were able to connect with God once again as a nation, as a people, individually, of course, along the way, I get all that, but coming together as a group. And now God blesses or curses, depending upon how they enter it. The temple was the place of fellowship. I don't know if you got that. The importance of the people of God to come together under the roof of a building. And I get, we're going to get into what all that is now. I get it. But together to worship the Lord God and to serve Him. There was something significant about one another. There was something important about gathering together. I remember witnessing to a guy, trying to witness to a guy, a coach of another team at a tournament, at a wrestling tournament, and he says, I don't need all that church stuff. I just go out in the woods and walk and talk to God. That's good enough. No. I'll record that and send that to him. Yeah, it's not the same. Absolutely, I would encourage you to get out and walk alone with the Lord in the woods. That is a blessing, isn't it? Wow, to see God's creation. But don't you for one minute think that replaces the fellowship of the body. Doesn't do it. A lot of people believe it's okay. Man, you know how many people that want to be here that can't come here for whatever reason? We need to be praying for those folks. We miss them. We miss you if you're watching us. We love you, and we hope you're able to get here, but you're in our hearts. In fact, you're here with us even now. Amen. We're glad you're here. So the temple was a basis. It really symbolized the spiritual health. Now, I'm going to be jumping back and forth. Just bear with me. It's all right. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6? Let's look at the temple now. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Okay, now, yes, when Christ came, crucified, buried, rose again, the temple was done as they knew it. Now we become the temple. What is that? Let's go back to the definition. It is the place of intimate fellowship with God. So I want us, as we're walking through the next few minutes, what Haggai and Israel is walking through and what we face today are very similar. Very similar what we're going to see here. The passage is going to just come alive once again, and we'll be reminded of the importance of the temple of the Holy Spirit and how it's important that it is in a good place, in a good condition, so that the fellowship of the people of God, for us, it's with God and with one another, can take place. It's necessary. And so we have this body. It's now going to be identified as the community of Christian believers. Community with God, community with one another. You might remember this story in Matthew 21, maybe, where Jesus is speaking or walks into the temple and sees everything set up, and he gets really what? Yeah, would you say he was just a little bit upset? What did he do? Yeah, it's time to clean up. Yeah. It was such a big deal. I found this, it's not mine, but I thought you would appreciate this. Speaking of the importance of this body, this growth as people from the heart. Symbiotic growth. There's a word we used to use in science, right? Symbiotic. Symbiotic growth is a growth that occurs between two organisms where both benefit. Both benefit, okay? You with me? Parasitic growth. Heard of that? That doesn't even sound good. It's growth that occurs in one organism because it's feeding off of another. Christians must ask themselves, how are they functioning in the organism of the body of Christ? Are you ready for this? Here it comes. Am I a spiritual parasite? Sing to me. Preach to me. Pray for me. Counsel me. Help me. But don't expect anything from me. Spiritual parasites are full in the body of Christ. That is not the temple of God. It is a place where we worship God from our heart and we come together and we're able to worship together. We can put aside our differences and worship the Lord. A Christian is interested in symbiotic growth. He says, yes, I do have needs, but I'm willing to give too, because everyone needs to benefit. That's it. So here we have this temple situation going on now. So if you think about it, the condition of the temple does matter to God. Go back to Haggai. They had started out okay. In fact, I think I can go ahead and advance. The people had a great start, and that's kind of what we've had. We've had a great start to our building and all that, our refurbishing of the gym. It's been great. We're going to get more reports on that as the weeks go ahead. More to do. But along the way, things happened. And the things that happened, really created some issues. There were two problems that arose after they had such a great start. You don't think the devil's going to let it lie, do you? Nah, if you have no problems in your life as a Christian, you better look deep into your heart. Why do you say that? Because when you pick up your sword or your rifle and you start fighting for Jesus, you're going to get bullets flying back. And if everything's cozy and wonderful with you, where's your sword and where's your gun? So two problems arise here real quick here in the Haggai situation. If you're in Haggai 1, there's external pressures and there are internal things that are going on. First of all, there are external pressures from the Samaritans. Now, this isn't found in Haggai, but you can find it in Ezra. They had laid the foundation, and the surrounding people, the Samaritans, wanted to join in building the temple. And the leader said, no, you're not nothing to do with building this temple. This is our temple, temple of our holy God, and we're going to do it. And they got upset, of course. In fact, we can read a little bit of the response to that when they heard that. The Samaritans, they said, well, the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Wow. So basically, God had told them, hey, and through a pagan king, and he raised some folks up. They came back on the first one. And about 50,000 came back, which is not very many of them. And you've got stories that's happening back then while this is going on here. They're in the Bible. You can read Esther and all the folks that didn't come along. It's all fantastic how it fits together. Find out what's going on there. Find out what's going on here. And we see this happening. And so we have all these folks now raising up and saying and frustrating them. That happens. It doesn't always happen from the external. It comes from the inside. But here we have pressure from the outside. You can't do it. So out of fear, they lost their faith, so to speak. The Word of God got put on the shelf for over 20 years. Been a long time. Maybe 18 to 20 years. They put the project on the shelf. I don't know what they're waiting on. Waiting on a better time, waiting on better economy, waiting on better this, better that. Maybe the world will be at more peace, and I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, there, just put it on the shelf. And it began, that project began to collect dust. You've heard the quote. This is an old quote. You might remember and smile. But dust isn't a good thing for a Christian. In fact, the old phrase, right, dusty Bibles leads to dirty lives. So you can walk away from God's calling. Yeah, put it up on the shelf. Two things about that. One, the project's going to happen, whether it's for you or somebody else, and God's going to revitalize this thing, which is what he's doing here. All right? And you're going to have to deal with that dust in your life. So what they going on here, we've got people that are simply creating problems. And rather than knowing what God had called them to do, they started listening to men. That's a problem. All right? That's a problem. Well, internal people. I did tell you about the dusty thing, right? Now, think about if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're not our own, we're bought with a price. What happens when there's dust collection in our own hearts when it comes to God? We got issues. These create more issues. This is exactly what happened. Now we have a group of people who have, over the time period, they got off what they were supposed to do. They got off their calling. They started out really well, but, you know, kids come along, pressures come along, life comes along, things happen, all kinds of stuff, and we get distracted. And in the name of Jesus, and I don't mean that to be sarcastic, but in the name of Jesus, we get misplaced priorities. We get all mixed up, and we find ourselves, we're living our life over here, and boy, we're having a grand old time. But we're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be over there. But God's blessing me, and I'm just having such peace and grace and mercy. I'm just enjoying the Lord. Hallelujah. Woohoo! And God says, man, no, you got a lot of issues in your temple. You may not think you do because life seems so good, but I'm telling you what, you're supposed to be there, not here. Okay, so God's patient. Thank God for that. And after 18, 20 years, he gets back here and he starts rattling some cages. Now we're in Haggai. That was a short intro. Look at Haggai 1, 3 and 4. Well, maybe the message will only be 5 minutes. You'll be all right. Look at Haggai 1. In fact, it's on the screen if you don't have the Bible in front of you. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? They're focusing on, I don't say anything sinful. I'm not going to say the phrase, but it becomes sin when it distracts them from the calling of God. When all their time, their effort, their money, their pleasure, their joys, their fellowship becomes apart from the fellowship of God, apart from fellowshipping with God's people, and apart from the mission of God, it is sin. It was a misplaced priority, and it happens so easily in all our lives. It happens in my life. God has to send that prophet sometime through his Holy Spirit, through his word, through a song, through a friend, through a prayer, whatever it is, and smack me upside my head to get me straight up. Whoa, you need to get back here. I know things seem to be okay over there, but it's really not. They focused on things they thought were important, but they didn't realize that the very temple, their heart, now I'm talking about the heart, was full of dust. And they saw the problems. This isn't working out in my life. This isn't the way it should be. And they thought they identified correctly, but they missed completely. You've heard this before. Some of you may not have, but when I lived in Dallas, our first house, when I was going to seminary, we had wood siding. And I noticed the wood siding when I was mowing the lawn, it looked a little bit different. Went over there, and when I went to push in the wood siding, it just went, oh, I got a problem. And as I looked, I said, oh, man, I got carpenter ants. I saw them, you know, like that big, whole line of them going in there. They're going in the house, and they're just eating up like crazy. Well, I called the guy out, and he says, you don't have a carpenter ant problem, but you see, I thought I did. You see, I thought I knew what the problem was. You see, this is the problem we have when our lives get dusty. Spiritually, we're unable to discern things very well. We think we know what the problem is, but there's a deeper problem. He says, no, you got a deeper problem than that. The carpenter ants are only exposing the problem you really have. What is my problem? You got termites. Termites? Yeah, carpenter ants love to eat termites. It's a source of protein. They're just following the trail. They're eating them all up. You got a termite problem. Let's get rid of the termites, and those carpenter ants are going to go find something else. They like easy meals. I think that's exactly what happens in our lives. We have issues. We have struggles. In fact, you can see it right here. Would you read with me? Where is it at here? Yeah, let's consider in verse 5. Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We're going to get to that in a second. You have sown much and you've harvested little. So now we're standing by the house now and figuring, what's going on? Why is this problem? We think we know what it is. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. So here they are, they're living their lives, they're doing all these things. They think they know what their problem is, they think they know what their solution is, but it's all wrong. It's all wrong. They don't get the fundamental issue. The temple is messed up. The temple is wrong. The heart is not where it needs to be. You can clean up, you can shave, wash your hair, put on a new clothes, but if your heart isn't dealt with properly, none of that will matter. And they're missing it. And he says, you're going to try awful hard, but I'm telling you what, it's not going to work. So now, what happens? Well, the house they thought they were building, trying to make peace, trying to have a happy life, trying to do the right things, is nothing more than a house on sand. And it's all done in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you that right here, right now. Build your house on the solid rock. Don't compromise with anybody. Not your spouse. Not your kids. Not your grandkids. I love my children and I love my grandchildren, but my goal in life isn't to make them happy. Oh, I want them happy. He said, that's kind of mean. Doesn't that sound mean to you? And he's like, I'm staying away from him. No. I want them to be gloriously happy in the Lord. They're going to find more joy in walking with Jesus than they will whatever else you give in and do this and do that. But I'm trying to do this and this is the problem. No. Go look at the heart. Look at the heart. Stand firm. Love. Live. Is the temple okay? That's what we got here. We got a lot of folks that, well-meaning Christians as well, they make lots of compromises just try to keep peace. Do that in relationships way too much. Do not compromise God's word in your life. Don't do it. So we have this going on, and the question really is, how's your heart? Because that's what it is with Haggai. It's how's the temple? And it is a mess. 18 or 20 years beforehand, they were all excited. They lay down the foundation. And since then, they got the tumbleweeds flowing over now. What happened? Well, they got off course. But there's a message, okay, here? There's a message that he gives, and it simply comes here. Look with me. It's time to build. It's time to build, and I'm going to give you two things that help you with this, all right? First of all, consider your ways. Look at verse 5, and then we're going to look at verse 7 as well. It says it twice here. It says, consider your ways. That's right before verse 6, and then drop down to verse 7. Thus the Lord's host says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. So what is he talking about? Well, I had read earlier the different things they were doing. They were eating, they're living their lives, their clothing, but nothing was working, which meant there was a deeper issue. They were following the carpenter ants, but they had a termite problem. Their problem was their heart with the Lord really wasn't right. I mean, they weren't bad people. You know, I love it that, you know, our kids, and I'm so glad when our kids have great testimonies in schools and they're good people, and that's great. And I want them to be good people in schools. I want our grandkids, I want us to be good people at work. But I want us to be holy people. People that seek after God. You can't just be satisfied, well, they're not in trouble. No. And we want someone who seeks after the Lord. So when we talk about considering your ways, are you really following God's plan or your plan? So here it is. I know it's kind of long. I broke every rule when it comes to memory. Sorry. Stop and think how your neglect of God's temple and his mission through the partnership of the fellowship is harming and not helping your home or your nation. I know it's long, but that's the shortest I can summarize it. And I think that it applies to Haggai right here. Look, he says, You need to stop and think how your neglect of what I've called you to do is really harming you. I know you think things are going well, but in the long, it's going to catch up with you. You can ignore it, but man, it's coming. And so they're ignoring this fellowship, this connection, this worship from the heart, and it's not helping them, and it's not helping the nation. I'm so glad we had the prayer for the nation, and I'm looking at the clock, and I can really get on a tangent for a long time. I'll try not to. But this idea that there is not one candidate that's going to ever save our country. There's not one party that's ever going to save our country. It's when our country and its individual people get their temple right. And they fall on their face before the Lord God. And they cry out and ask for mercy. We've been blessed with a great nation. But frankly, our nation has done a lot of things that are horribly wrong. And they're doing more and more. And we're part of it. We don't abide by it. We don't agree with it. But it's our nation, right? And we don't just need a paint job on the outside. Sometimes I feel that's what elections are. All the promises and then what happens when they get elected, whatever. We need reconditioning from the inside. We need to change of heart. And it's got to begin with God. Let judgment begin with the house of God. Let it begin with us. Where are we at? Where is our heart? And so he says you need to consider your ways. And I think the only way that we move forward as a church and building, and we got to think beyond just us right now. And we got people of all ages here and different stages of life. And none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, whether we live tomorrow, whether we die or whatever. The point is, are we living for Christ so that when we stand before him, we will not be ashamed? And so we want to do that. And we can't just live for now. That's what I so appreciated about those who were here at Bible Baptist Church years ago and saw up ahead of what could be. And let's do this because the generations will be blessed. We've been blessed by other people that love the Lord. Now it's our turn to wake up and bless the next generation. Amen. It's not all about us. It is about us when we bless our kids, our grandkids, and all these are our kids and our grandkids. They all are. Blessing them, helping them grow in faith and their friends in different ways that will bless our country and the world for Christ. We can't just think about hanging on. Man, I got to hang on for Jesus here. Hang on to my house. Forget your house. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's work on that. God will take care of your house. Only he'll bless it. He'll bless you if we take care of the temple. The temple here. So you got to consider your ways, though. Each one of us have to do it. We all have different things. Man, trying to list all that. Oh, that'd be a long list. I got my list. God knows what it is. My wife knows what it is. So, I mean, there it is. That was funny, but that's okay. It's true. My jokes are so bad, I have to tell people to laugh. Isn't that bad? It's just bad. But we're not done. If you go back to the text here in Haggai, we'll get the second and last one here. We'll consider our ways, and then what does he say to do? What's the next word? What is it? That was weak. Come on, what's that word? Go. You got to do something. Got to do something. Can't just say, man, that was a great message. Hallelujah. Ho! Let's go eat. Nothing wrong with that. I'm all into eating. Anybody into eating? Yeah. Only five of you. Okay, the rest of you stay and pray while my family's going to go eat after this is over. Yeah, he says, get up, go up to the hills, bring the wood, build the house. Let's get it done. Get back to God's work. Okay, so now this is basically our opportunity. This is God. We're on the highway. And y'all can relate to this. How many times have you missed the exit? It's not so bad when there's a lot of them, but it's bad out in the West when the exits are every, you know, three states. And so you're going, and yet God in his mercy, there's exits, aren't there? There's always exits. He says, you're going the wrong way. Oh, but there's a turnaround exit. Now you have a choice. Okay, I got to take the exit. I got to get off. And I get off, And God, let's be crossover and go right where our direction. Man, if that isn't church every Sunday, I don't know what is. It should be. If that isn't your quiet times and your prayer times with God, He gives us exits all the time, opportunities. Some of them are small. I get it. Not everything's a big, big thing, but they add up. Some of them are big. Some of them things you've been carrying around for a long time, and God's giving you that opportunity to exit. And so here we have. Here's your exit. I'm giving you a chance right here, right now. Get up. Get the wood. Get the building. Go up into the hills and build the house. And it all begins with this. It begins not just with the vision, which is important. The vision is great. And getting people to want to get behind it is awesome. But it ends up that it starts with the temple. I heard a pastor respond one time. I thought it was really good about the election thing. And what his response was so good, I thought I'd just share it. Because I'm going to take it as being one of mine now. He says, why aren't you preaching more of how people should do this and people should do this and how they should vote here and how they should vote there? And he looked right at me and said, well, you know what? If I'm preaching the Word of God, I'm doing that every week. I thought, that's beautiful. That's right. So now I have to back up and look at what am I preaching through the year, right? What am I saying? Is it important that we save lives? Do I have an amen? Yes. Are babies chemical little things, or are they living souls at conception? Yes. Living souls. Are they alive? That's a duh one, right? So the taking of that, the Bible is very clear on. It's called murder. It's what it is. I'm sorry, I didn't write it. God wrote it. Yeah. But what about those who were born into this world? This is my problem with some of the abortionists that are against abortion. I like that they're against it, but I would ask the question, what happens to that child when they're born? Does the church ignore them then? What a sin that is. Just let someone else raise them? No. Say, well, we need to go get those kids to bring in here, and then they're tough. And hey, let them come. Let the children come. Well, you know, those parents drop them off, and then they take off, and they go shopping for 2 hours during Awana. And I say, thank you, Jesus. I'll take their kids for 2 hours. And I'll open up the Bible and I'll show them how they can know Christ as their Savior. Amen. What is our deal? We can't just say don't kill an unborn child yet. We can't also say don't kill the born ones. Build them up in the faith. We got it. But listen, it comes when we come together. I got to close this thing up because I'll go till 12:30. I'm fired up. It's pre-surgery energy. Don't worry about it. He doesn't tell five guys to do this. And I don't mean the restaurant. So I should say six or seven. He's talking to the nation. And there's a very important principle that I didn't write down on a slide, but I can just share it with you. You know what it is. We are a body of Christ. We are a temple. And we are able to commune with Christ. If we know Christ as our Savior, that's the first question. I'm asking you, are you born again? Are you here today? Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking you if you know about the salvation plan. I'm not asking you if you even believe in the salvation plan. I'm asking you if you trusted Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and mine, and rose again, and offers you eternal. Are you trusting in Him alone for your salvation? If you haven't, you have no temple. But God has given you an opportunity to have the very Holy One of God come into your life. And you can have forgiveness of sin, not by knowledge, but by relationship. And that's what He always wanted at the temple, by the way. It wasn't just some kind of a cold thing. He wanted to have a relationship with His people. and that temple was abused many times, and we know all those stories. You can read the Old Testament where even the priests were doing it wrong, and God was very angry with all that. In the New Testament, Jesus was angry because it was about a relationship. It wasn't about just showing up. So here's the point, back to the original, is that we are a fellowship together. This message isn't for the first four rows. You get what I'm saying? This is for everybody. However old you are, wherever you're at, God does not care how much money you make. He just wants your heart. Equal sacrifice. Equal sacrifice, not equal giving. That's ridiculous. It's the way it is. It's always been that way. I'm like most of you. I've never been in a place where I've made a ton of money in my life either. But guess what? I have the privilege and opportunity to join with a fellowship of people and have equal sacrifice to do something amazing for a future generation that can change. If God were to tarry, if that could just change this county and change this state and change this country for the Lord, great is our reward in heaven. Because someone did that for us. So guess what, folks? Opportunity. It's time to build. It's time to build. Don't listen to all the other voices. Don't put it off for 18 years. Jump in, get off the exit and get around. Let's turn around. Let's all go together. Everybody together now. 100%. Why? Well, so that the glory of the Lord, so that I may take pleasure in it, the house, verse 7 and 8, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. And here's the thing, as I close, and I am going to close honestly. If I be lifted up, let me read that verse one more time, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. Are you ready? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That's the consequence that takes place when the body of Christ lays aside whatever it is as their issues are with one another and God, gets their temple right, and they come together. God is glorified, and all of a sudden things are happening that we cannot explain, and that's good because it's a God thing. He'll do it for you. He's done it for you if you know Christ as your Savior. And He can use you to do it for others. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? That's it. I got five people that are ready. You want to see that hand stand flip? You want to see it? Get on up here and do it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's time to build. We realize, really, that when we study this, you're talking to the heart of each one of those Jewish followers and those who are struggling in their faith. We got the same group of people here. We got people that know you, people that may know about you, may don't have a relationship. We have people, Lord, that just need to put aside all their efforts and they're building their own paneled houses. Nothing wrong with that, but not to neglect the house. We could do both. We could do both, but we must prioritize the Lord. And I pray together, Lord, that we would come together and we realize the temple, it starts with us, our own hearts. So I ask my brothers and sisters and I ask myself, where's the dust in my temple? So right now, Lord, we confess right now to you that dust. And you're a merciful God. And over again, you allow us to get off the exit. And here's an exit opportunity for each one of us so that we can all turn around and find ourselves having one big convoy. Going together in Jesus' name to lay a foundation of faith. And it's not about the bricks and mortars, the building. No, it's about lives. It's about using tools of ministry to reach others with the good news that Jesus saves. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, more important than any building, of course, that's an easy thing. More important than that or any other project is your heart with God. Mm-hmm. Each one of us here are praying. Those who are Christians are praying. We're praying for you. Don't be afraid. Don't have any fear. The Lord God has his arms wide open, and he's calling to you. He's calling out to you. You are a sinner, as I am, and we all are. And no, whatever efforts we have and things that we try to do, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot bring ourselves to God. God has provided an exit road for us so that we can come to know him and find forgiveness of sin. And it's not just through knowledge. It's through simply falling on your knees in a spirit of repentance, of recognizing our own sin, recognizing God's provision through Jesus, the Holy Savior, and the resurrected Christ, and trusting in him alone. Will you do that today, please? I pray that you would. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Reading the Bible cannot save you. Your trust and faith in Christ is what brings salvation. Would you trust in him? And I pray that you would right now. Just simply ask, Lord Jesus, I recognize my sin. I recognize my need for a new heart. I need salvation, and I'm trusting what Jesus has done for me. And thank you, Father, for sending him. Thank you, Christ, for dying and rising again. Thank you, Lord, that I can find salvation through you. Come into my life. Change my heart. Build that temple in me. And now for the rest of us, my brothers and my sisters, just join me in prayer. Father, the temple that resides in each one of us, I would ask now that you would come in, Lord Jesus. And I don't know what tables need to be overturned, but by your grace, I pray that you would do that for us. And that you would use us and change us so that together we could do something amazing here in our community and around the world for Jesus' sake and for the glory of the Lord, that his name may be honored. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.